Well, you know, when you watch Case play quarterback, the first thing you see is big plays. I mean, he's always been that way since college. I watched him play in college 2 years, and obviously, you know, I was on a staff with him in Houston. You know, he's going to make big plays for you. He's got a gunslinger's mentality. I mean, he is not afraid to push the ball downfield. You know, but that being said, as I watched him this year, he was also different in an aspect where he was patient also. You know, when he was a young guy, it was like crazy watching him play. But watching him play, you know, currently, he's still aggressive, but he's also smart with the football. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over. And that's the key when you're playing quarterback, you know, and when you're playing on a good football team like he was. I mean, it was a top five defense. They had a running game. He had targets to throw the football to, so his job was to obviously make big plays, but to take care of the football, and that he did.
What do you think was the hardest transition for a young quarterback? Be it Case Keenum in his early years or Paxton Lynch?
Mm-hmm.
What is the most difficult transition for
right.
a
college? I think, you know, it's going from college and going to the NFL. I mean, it's the PhD of football, you know, and you know, I mean, you're facing defenses that are, you know, really, really complicated, you know, so you need time to kind of learn how to dissect those defenses. And that's the biggest challenge. When you watch these kids throw at the combine, 1 to 20 can throw the football. That's never the issue as far as physical talent, but it's always the experience of figuring out defenses and figuring out where to throw the football, you know, even before the snap. And that's hard to do for young guys. When you watch Peyton and you watch Tom, those guys know where the football's going before the ball snap. Now, they may get confused and pull it back and go somewhere else with it, but they have a clear idea. They probably know 70% of the time where the ball should go. And that's pre-snap, and that's experience, and that's knowing defenses. You know, as a defensive guy, I know when I'm game planning, I am trying to create confusion for the quarterback. You know, I tell our guys all the time, I tell Joe and his staff, it doesn't matter who the receivers are and the running backs, those guys, you know, everyone has talent, but you're always playing the quarterback. That's who has the ball every snap. You know, so if you're not playing the quarterback, you're wrong on defense. So it's our job on defense to create as much confusion and hesitation we can with the quarterback. And that's the problem with young guys. You know, if you pause for a second and a half, you know, you may get hit by Vaughn, you know, or throw the ball to the wrong person and it's cover two instead of cover three. So I think just figuring out defenses, you know, that's the biggest thing for young quarterbacks, because the talent, you know, we all watch them, right? And that's why you draft them in the top rounds or top 10, because they're so talented. But you can't predict how they're going to, you know, play versus complicated defenses, which we all have in this league.
So when you're watching them in a combine or their pro days and they're not going against live defenses, what are you looking for?
At the pro days?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking for talent. You know, I mean, it's still a talent-based league. You know, so when you go to pro days, you know, you watch a quarterback throw, you want to see accuracy, you want to see pace on the football. You want to see a guy who can obviously, you know, change the pace of the football. Like when you watch, when I watch Baker, I was impressed because he can throw it hard, you know, for a little guy. He can throw it deep, you know, but he can also touch the ball, you know, and that's what Josh, I thought, did so much better, you know, after the Senior Bowl. I mean, his pro day was impressive because Josh did a great job with his footwork, first of all. That cleaned up. But Josh Allen. But to watch him change the pace of the ball, because his arm's so big, you know. I mean, he can pace the ball. I mean, he can throw it soft. He can throw it hard. He can throw it with firm but not hard pace, and that's the key. So pro days, you're looking for talent. You know, when you watch corners, you're looking for talent. Obviously, the meetings after the pro day or at the combine, that speaks more to their football IQ. But when you're watching a workout, you want to see talent. Is height overrated with a quarterback? I'll say this about that. It hadn't been very many quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Russell Wilson been that successful. I mean, Doug Flutie, 5'10". I mean, he was fairly successful, but he had to go to Canada first, right? So, you know, I think it's exceptions to the rule. It's like cornerback. You know, how many slow cornerbacks have played at a high rate? I don't think very many, you know. So to say height doesn't matter, that's not true, you know, because linemen are 6'4", 6'5", and, you know, the more you can see where you're throwing the football, the better you're going to be. But have guys overcome it? Yes. You know, and I can speak to two guys who are playing currently, and that's Russell Wilson and that's Drew Brees. You know, they've both overcome it with unique skill sets, though. You know, Russell is a guy who's a great athlete. I mean, he can make guys miss in a phone boot. He's got a big arm. He's got a high arm release. You know, Russell's release is really high. So when he brings it up, he's probably at 6'1 when he brings the release up, like a basketball player. And Drew just finds windows. But Drew's like Peyton, and he's like Tom. Pre-snap, he knows where the ball's going, so he don't have to find a lot of windows. He knows where the ball's going. He has quick feet. He gets back in his drop really fast, and the ball's gone. And he can find windows. And you watch Drew, he kind of looks through the bottom of his face mask. You know, his head's up. He's looking through the bottom of his face mask. So that's something that he's acquired, you know, from being a shorter guy. But to say it doesn't matter, that's not right. You know, I wouldn't say that because just history tells you it does matter. But it's been guys who've overcome it. What a one trait that Baker has that Drew has is accuracy, you know, historic accuracy in college. So that's what Drew has. So, you know, but, you know, we won't know about Baker until he gets out there and play. And that's the story with these young quarterbacks. I mean, you watch them in the pro days, you watch them play college football, but you won't know, you know, if they're going to be like a Drew Brees until they go out there and play against NFL competition, which is different than college competition. Well, I can guarantee you that, you know, Bose is going to be the left tackle. You know, we've got a couple of guard candidates, obviously, with Leary, you know, being probably our left guard again. Obviously, Paradis being our center. You know, I thought, you know, if we played tomorrow, I thought McGovern played well the last month of the season, so he would have a chance to be our right guard. And, you know, right tackle, you know, we obviously traded for Jarrett, and we've got Menelik there, you know, who's played some football. He's trying to get healthy. So, you know, we'll compete there, you know. But, again, things change. You know, we haven't had the – Max would probably have to flip and play both. You know, that's the way I see it right now. But things do change. You know, things do change, and we have a draft. You know, obviously, you know, Leary was a left guard in Dallas when we signed him. And again, I'm a firm believer on when you sign free agents, you know, as you know, certain positions, and when you sign free agents to do a certain skill set for you, you don't want to change those guys. So I think our football team, you know, will be better with Leary playing left guard. But Max is a player who's played a lot of football for us, and he's also played right. So end of the day, Mike, it's going to be competition everywhere. You know, it's going to be competition, and I know Max. Max wants to play. You know, I know McGovern wants to play. You know, and Leary will play. You know, so I think it's going to be competition, and iron sharpens iron, and, you know, that's what you want, you know. And you got to have depth. I thought, Mike, last year that we had great depth at the center and guard position in training camp. You know, between Matt Paradis playing center along McGovern with Max and Leary, and Billy Turner was healthy. We had great depth at the interior part of our line. So I think moving back to that spot is going to help us become a better offensive line.
Where do you guys like
Yeah. Well, J.J. Dillman was a guy that we coveted in the draft. You know, obviously that Utah line that came out of Utah. That line came out a year ago, and they had four guys drafted, and all four of those kids played, except for J.J. because he was injured a little bit, and he went to Cincy, went on practice squad. But the rest of those guys played. You know, they were all drafted. So that was the best college line in football. I mean, it was the best, you know, line in football, speaking of college. But, you know, he was a great leader in college. You know, you asked all of those kids, you know, who would you take with you from your college O-line, it was always J.J. Dillman. And he was the lowest drafted guy. But from a leadership standpoint, he was the guy. You know, and that's important when you're a center. He's played guard. He's also played tackle as a sophomore in college. So I'm looking forward to getting him on the field because he was a guy that we really, really liked. And we tried to get him a couple of times out of Cincy during the year. And we failed the first time but got him back to us a second time. And him and Bowles are really tight. You know, that's always a good thing to have one of your buddies there who's, you know, who can push you, you know, behind the scenes to be a better player. So we're excited about him. And he's played center, he's played guard, he's also played some right tackle. So we're excited to see what he can bring.
You mentioned earlier about bringing in guys with strong leadership.
Yes.
Two offensive line coaches, one for tackles, one for guard. Is there an emphasis on development and guiding the younger players, especially this season?
Absolutely. Well, I'll speak to our offensive line coaches first before I go back to your leadership question. You know, I think the offensive line, and this is just me coaching on defense, right? Defensive backs usually have two coaches now because it's so much information, right? And it's really different skill sets between a safety and a corner. So why not have two offensive line coaches? Because the center and guard, it's different skill sets than the tackles. So, you know, obviously we have a number one pick in Bowles, and tackle is so important to you playing great offense. So we wanted to obviously, you know, give those guys their own coach. Chris Rauscher is a hell of a coach. He's coached in college for a long time. And those guys, Nikki, are great technique coaches because they have to be, right? They're acquiring high school kids, most of them who've never played offensive line. You know, most teams draft, sign defensive linemen, make them offensive linemen. So he's a great teacher of technique. You know, he's demanding, and he's going to be a great guy to coach our tackles. As far as the leadership point, I think every team wants to add leadership, you know, if they're good players. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to add leaders who can't play. That won't help you because most of your football leaders have to be productive players. They don't have to be your best players, but they have to be contributors. You know, they have to be guys who are playing and helping you win. So I think, you know, most teams want to add more guys who can lead and do things right because your draft picks are valuable. You know, you can't afford to lose those guys, you know, when it comes to being professional and growing into the role of being a great pro. So having more guys who can teach those guys that, in my opinion, helps develop your young guys. Obviously, coaches are trying to coach them and help them be pros, but I've been in locker rooms, and they learn more from the players about being pros than they do from the coaches, you know. We can teach X and O's, but you know, how to take care of your body, how to study more, how to go home at night and get sleep, you know, turn the video game off, you know. And just simply being a grown man, that comes from the players. So I think adding more guys like that will help us. Right. Right. Well, he wasn't lacking a lot. You know, and obviously CJ's still with us, you know, so that's going to be a competition there. So it won't be given to him, you know. And, you know, this guy just rushed for 1,000 yards, and he stayed healthy for 16 weeks, so it won't be easy for Devontae. But I think, you know, he had a hell of a spring, Mike, and he provides a lot of options as far as a running back. He can catch balls out of the backfield. He's a returner. He can run downhill on third and one. He can run outside, inside. He can make guys miss. He can jump over guys. We've seen him do that. But, you know, missing training camp, that hurt him, you know, because we thought it was going to be a fight to the end with him and CJ as far as who was going to be the guy. But missing training camp obviously hurt him, and not coming back until, what, week three, four? So that's when he came back, and it took time with that hand to kind of, you know, get his flex back in his hand and kind of get used to contact and taking care of the football as far as ball security. So, you know, he needs to have a good spring again. And obviously stay on the field. You know, that's running back. You know, if you can stay on the field and you're a talented guy running back, you're going to be productive, you know, but you have to stay healthy. And that's a gift, you know, that halfbacks have to have. He was good. He was better. You know, I thought Eric did a great job with Book. He spent a lot of time with Book outside of the classroom, just one-on-one time with the pass pro, because he knew Book was going to be our third down back, because he should be, because he's the most gifted receiver. You know, and he can win one-on-ones with linebackers. I mean, you guys saw it last year on third downs. He can win, but you have to be able to protect on third downs. He did a better job with that. So he should grow in that role, and obviously with his skill set, help us on third downs.
To make this offense go, how much do you need to get more out of the slot and tight end, especially
mm-hmm. considering right.
Sort of
yeah, yeah. That's a great question. Here's why, right? You know, we have two great outside receivers who everyone who plays is they're going to respect those guys, you know, with E and DT, right? I mean, they're both Pro Bowl guys, and one-on-one they can really hurt you, especially on third down. So to give those guys more one-on-ones and give them more free access, the tight end and the slot guy and the halfback have to win more one-on-ones, all right, to force the teams to play more single high coverage, which is man free or cover three, which gives those guys one-on-ones. But, you know, until we do that, you know, we saw a lot of bracket coverage. We saw a lot of where the safety and corner double DT, safety and corner double E, and left those guys one-on-one, right? So we have to figure out a way to attack those kind of coverages with our tight ends and with our slot and with our back, you know, so we can get more one-on-ones outside. So, yes, you know, we have to get better there, because that's going to allow us to be better on third downs, you know, even on first, second downs. Now, our running game was good enough last year where we saw a lot of, you know, single high on first and second down. So we have to take advantage of that. But on third downs, it was more shell and bracket coverage. Let's take away your two best guys and force someone else to, you know, force tight end to beat us or the slot to beat us and the back to beat us. And we didn't do a good job there, so we have to do better there. Obviously, having Butts back, that's going to be big for us, and he's going to be healthy, you know, and Harmon took some steps last year, and again with Booker, Carlos Henderson, you know, he missed last year, obviously, as a third-round pick, you know, so we're counting on that kid to come in and play for us, you know, especially in a slot, or even he goes in a slot and he goes outside, but someone's got to go in a slot and win one-on-ones so we can get fair coverages on third downs. Yeah.
A lot of rotation. What is your expectation?
All right, Nikki.
Sorry, I had to go in.
I know. You know, I'll tell you what, you know, that's so important to winning and losing games, you know, and you have to be almost flawless there, you know, and it's almost unfair to say about that unit, but you have to be flawless. You know, you can't give up returns for touchdowns. You can't, you know, defensively, the Patriot game, we go three and out, right? We make a great play on third down. You know, Tom's in Denver again, and we're going to roll, right? And we fumble the punt return. They go in and score the next drive. So, you know, flawless is the word I use, because you have to be. Because if you make one mistake there, you're going to probably lose the football game. You know, so we have to get better at covering kicks, at obviously catching the punt return. And I was really proud of Jordan Taylor, how he came in and did a hell of a job for us. We had no more problems when Jordan took over. And that guy I love, because, you know, I mean, he's a guy that gets a job done. You know, it doesn't look pretty. It's not going to be on ESPN. But at the end of the day, his first game returning, he averaged like 14 yards a return, right? That's a Pro Bowl average, you know. But getting the ball caught, absolutely. But getting the ball caught, right, and making the great decisions, that's that position. It's not about all talent. It's about decision-making, when to catch the ball, when to take your chance, when to fair catch the football to get it back to the offense. So we have to be flawless there. And you know, obviously McKenzie was drafted to do that job. And his issue is not catching the football. It's not. It's decision-making, right? He has to make better decisions. And obviously a young guy who has success early, I mean, he was in the top two or three. He was averaging probably 11 yards a return. Every return, he wanted to make a touchdown. And you can't do it. You know, you can't do it. And teams started playing him differently. You know, we saw, I think, two or three left-footed kickers that gave him problems. So we have to get him back to, obviously, making good decisions. Catching the football won't be his issue. And once the ball's in his hand and it's blocked up, he's special. But catching the ball is your first job, right? And decision-making is your it's part of that. So once he gets the ball in his hand, he's special, but we have to get him back to doing those things right.
So as of now, would Jordan still hold the
I think Jordan has earned the right to come back as the guy. But again, it's going to be OTAs, it's going to be training camp. We're competing. But, you know, who's first in line? I would say Jordan's first in line, but I'm going to give McKenzie, absolutely, it's a different year for all of us. So it's a clean slate for every player that walks through the locker room. So I'm going to give him a chance to, you know, go compete and try to help this team win in, you know, in some matter.
How much
would it change?
Yeah.
As far as schematics?
Everything. Schematics, leadership. It's a big
piece. I don't.
Part, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. When you lose one of your corners, it's a big piece. But schematically, we won't change at all. We won't change at all. You know, I would say this about that. You know, I mean, he's played good football for us, and I think you know, moving on from Aqib wasn't about he couldn't play anymore. It was more about helping the Broncos improve other places. Because in our hearts, you know, we feel that Roby is ready to go. And, you know, Roby, it's funny. You know, Roby had, you know, really two great weeks. Oakland, okay, where Aqib got thrown out. And Miami, you know, when Aqib didn't practice and play that whole week. So Roby's capable. He needs to have a chance to play. You know, and to get better and better at his trade. And it's tough when you're the third corner and your little brother. You know, I mean, you don't take those steps to take over the job. You know, and you would have hoped Roby in year two would have said, you know something, I'm taking a job this year. Because physically, he can do that. But he didn't. So he's got to come back this year and compete and, you know, win a number two job. You know, obviously having Brock. Signing Brock was huge for us because he's been a starter on winning football teams and on top five defenses. So it's going to be interesting to watch those two guys obviously compete and make each guy better. And, you know, you need three guys to play great defense. So whoever doesn't win the two job will be the three. He's been mostly outside. You know, he has not played much inside, but Roby has and obviously Chris has. You know, so that gives us some flex there. But he's been mostly an outside guy.
Has to come on.
He does. And speaking of just raw talent and raw ability, he's got it all. He's got it all. But, again, he has to learn how to play the position, you know, and develop technique and confidence to go out there and do it right. Because at corner, it's like playing, you know, tackle. You know, if you're not good technique-wise, you're going to give up big plays. And when he played last year, it was you know, his lack of success because of technique. It wasn't physical ability. You know, and, I mean, he's got to get better also on teams. You know, he's got to help us there. I mean, if he's going to be our fourth corner or third or fourth corner, he's got to get better on teams. You know, and dress every week and you know, help us win games. You know, obviously last year Rios came on. You know, Rios came on and kind of really beat him out of the fourth corner spot as a free agent corner. You know, he did some good things for us also. But Langley, you know, we're counting on him to get better because physically he's got what it takes, but he's got to get better mentally. Well, Carlos Henderson was a guy who was a good teamer doing training camp. He was a good gunner. I mean, he's a jammer. As a defender, I mean, you look at the guy. He's built like a running back. He's got big shoulders and long arms, so he's a guy that can take over some of those roles. But I tell you, Cody and Benny was a joy to have because it's rare that two receivers are core teams players because of the toughness that comes with that. But those two dudes did it, and it was a luxury having two that can do it. But again, Jordan Taylor came on as a teamer for us last year as a returner and kickoff coverage and those things. So we're hoping Jordan continues that. Carlos can get better at it. And obviously Langley, you know, has to get better in all aspects. Yeah. I don't know where Mike's going with this. I don't know where he's going with this. Why is that, Mike? I hear you. Well, I'll say this about those two guys. You know, those two guys are are very similar to what Domantas Pecco gave us last year. I mean, obviously a veteran guy who's played a lot of football, but also a great locker room guy. You know, so to have, you know, two more guys that we can compare to Domantas is huge for us. You know, Jarrett's played a lot of football. He's got over 100 starts at right tackle, right guard, and left tackle. So we're looking forward to getting him in and obviously helping our young guys grow. Clinton McDonald, you know, the folks in Tampa just rave about him, what kind of locker room presence he had, you know. Obviously, as a captain to be not really a full-time starter, you know, kind of a rotational player to be named captain, that speaks to him. You know, because most players, especially young players, they vote for the best player, you know. You know, young players coming in, they spend about, 3 months with these guys. And, you know, you guys are interviewing the same guys over and over again. So he must be the captain, right? Right? Mike's interviewing him every day. So that's what young guys see. You know, they think being the best player is the best, is the best leader. But it's not accurate. Not accurate. It helps. It helps because leaders have to contribute, have to play to help you win, but doesn't make them the best leaders, you know. So those two guys will help us in that area.
Just a little aside, you know. Just
like something, huh? Lauren Landau is a very, very, very bright guy when it comes to training athletes. You know, it's really awesome we got him done because half our team trained with him, you know, before the draft or in the off season. So all those guys knew him. So when his name came up for the job, I got 20 calls from veteran players who I trust about training. They all push Lauren. And that's awesome because, you know, you want buy-in, you want excitement when you make hires, you want to get better, you know. And Luke was great, you know, for the Broncos, obviously, you know, for a number of years. I mean, he won a championship there, and his program was awesome. Luke, I love this program. He kept us healthy, you know. But Lauren's going to be in the same line, you know, because I mean it's really different now, guys, with the strength conditioning coach. It's more about science. You know, it's no longer the big burly guy and just doing squats and doing bench press and that's it. That's the day. Hit the sleds, pull the sleds. It's more about science. And these guys coming up now, man, it's complicated stuff. And it's fun to watch guys, you know, coach the core and train the core and train soft tissue stuff. And to watch them warm up for 20 minutes, you know. We didn't do that stuff. We touched our toes one time and we went to work. But it's a different art now, you know. But Lauren brings that experience and brings the signs that we wanted, and it's a very similar path that Luke came from, you know. Private training for professional athletes to being a team coach, you know. So I'm excited about Lauren, you know, and Anthony, those guys who stayed behind, and Cedric Smith. They do have the experience coaching a team, you know, coaching a team through phase one and phase two and phase three. So, you know, once we apply Lauren's expertise with those guys' experience in developing a plan for a football team, it's going to be a home run. And the players are awful excited, and that's good. You know? You want them to come back ready to work, you know, with a guy they've worked with before. So everyone's excited about Lauren, including myself.
I know he uses a lot of new technologies for, like, injury recovery and injury prevention.
Yeah. I like it. I like it because, you know, it obviously makes you better. If it can make you 1% better, you know, we have to use it. You know, analytics has been a big part of the game for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, so I think it's important to not ignore those things, you know. And again, if it can make you better, you know, by 1%, why not? You know, why not use those things? But, you know, it's 2018, you know, information's everything. You know, everyone's doing a study on everything. You know, so why ignore those studies that's being done to help players, to help coaches, to help everyone in the business get better? So I am a firm believer of all of the science analytics that's coming into the game because I think it's important. Even the GPS tracking, you know, with your team, that's a huge deal because it allows you to determine, you know, your workload. If it's too much, if it's not enough, you know, how fast guys are going, return from injury, right? So if a receiver is wearing a GPS tracker during training camp and his max speed is 19, right, he has an ankle sprain week four, he comes back, he practices full speed on Thursday, and his max speed is 12, he's not ready to go. You know, so you can really judge, you know, a return to injury off the GPS tracker. So those things are critical, to, in my opinion, to the future of football.
How much do you confer with Mitch Tanny, like in games?
A lot. I have a wire to Mitch, you know, as far as game management stuff, just keeping me ahead of what's going to go on. You know, obviously, coach, if we score here, we should go for two. Here's why. You know, I may say no. You know, I may say yeah. You know, coach, we should go for it here. You know, hear what the numbers say. I may say yes or no, but at least he's giving me the options in my ear, you know, three or four plays, you know, before it happens, so I can make decisions on it. But I think Mitch does a great job. I mean, he is very thorough in what he does. He's played football, so that helps. He's a smart guy that's played football, so he gets it. So sometimes his suggestion is strictly numbers. And I will say, no way. It's the first quarter. We've got momentum. I'm not doing that, Mitch. You know, but I want his suggestions because it is sound, you know, and it's usually right on. My message is going to be, you know, obviously, you know, it's a new year, you know, and we want everybody to put last year behind us, you know, not forget last year because it happened. You know, but obviously, you know, have a clean slate, move forward, and let's get better as a football team. You know, we want to stress this spring of having more accountability. You know, that's where it starts to getting better. You know, everyone doing their job better. You know, myself, the coaches, the players, you know, everyone diving in and doing a better job than we did last year. And that's a simple message. You know, obviously, phase one, it's about players coming back and, you know, getting back into football shape. Phase two is a combination of both, of meetings, on the field training, and again, you know, strength conditioning. And phase three is OTAs. So it's going to be a clean, short message, man. Let's get better. You know, we know the issues that we had last year. Let's go fix them. But we want to start with accountability at all and all fronts from all of us, from myself, every coach, and every player. Just doing your job the best you can do. Absolutely, and that's really culture, right? You know, culture is everyone every day doing their job the best they can do. That's the best culture you can have. You know, culture is a huge word, and everyone uses that word, and it means a lot of things to a lot of people. But the bottom line, to have great culture is everyone doing their best every day, right? And being team first, that's having great culture. So very simple. Let's get back to work and get better. Sorry?
I don't want to use the word waste, but it's kind of the one that comes to mind. With Vaughn, if you don't get a pass rush from the other side, I feel like with that salary and that talent, like, is he not getting you? Obviously, he gets double teamed, he gets triple teamed, but you want him to be more effective, and if you can get a pass rush that's more successful other places as well to help him out, it can utilize him almost better.
That's fair because obviously Vaughn, if you've got one rusher, right, obviously the protections and the chips are going to go one way.
Because I look at Philly, it's like it was balanced.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's not just having a guy opposite, it's having a guy in the middle. You know, obviously when the Broncos were really, really good at rushing the passer, it was Vaughn and D. Ware and Malik and Wolfie in the middle. You know, that's tough on offenses, but I agree with you. You know, having other rushers that they have to account for definitely helps your best pass rusher. You know, if you have one receiver, that's tough because they just roll to that one guy all game, so you have to have two. But I agree with you. You know, Vaughn will get better, and he'll get more one-on-ones when we have a better guy opposite him and we have more inside push. You know, so a waste, I wouldn't say he's a waste, but I would say it's tough for Vaughn to dominate games one-on-one when he's being doubled and he's being chipped the entire game.
So with that said, where is Wolf in terms of health?
He's fine.
He's good.
He's ready to go.
He's fine.
He's ready to go. He's excited about the offseason. Okay. Obviously signing Clinton McDonald. Yeah. I mean, that guy was a pretty good inside rusher for Tampa last year, so that's why we signed him, to get more push. DeMarcus Walker came on strong. And that guy, we forget about him, his second-round pick. But he came on strong last year and made some plays late in the season, so he should get bigger and stronger and help us push the pocket inside.
And you didn't really get Shane on what you thought he was going to be Shane from what you saw him in training camp and then the injury.
Shane was injured. You know, I mean, he came back. I mean, he played with that hand, but it was tough. It was sore. He couldn't bend it. He had no flex in it. So, you know, we'll get Shane right back. I thought Shane was coming on. You know, he's excited about being opposite of Von and helping rush the passer. So, even Shaq, you know, as you watch the cut-ups from the season, you know, Shaq played well. You know, he played very solid. But to have Shane back, it's going to help Von get more one-on-ones.
Number five pick. They would have to say something about what you guys feel about X. She don't take a quarterback. She's something else.
Help me, Nikki. Help me with my jacket there. There you go. There you go.
About what you feel about Paxton. And is he a factor?
I think Paxton's a factor, yes. Paxton's had, what, 4 to 5 starts, 4 and a half starts. And, you know, to deem Paxton you know, not capable, that's not fair. Obviously, you know, it's an age of instant gratification, you know, for all of us, you know, for the media and all that stuff. But it takes time, you know, to play good quarterback in this league. And I think once Paxton gets more time, he's going to get better as a quarterback. But by no means Paxton Lynch is done, by no means at all. I mean, he's shown enough in practice, even in the games he's played, that he can play the position, but he needs more time, and that's simply it, you know. So, you know, wherever we go in the draft, you know, with the first pick, you know, it doesn't speak to Paxton that we're disappointed in Paxton. You know, we believe in Paxton, you know, because you know, we've watched him work and watched him play in practice, and he's a gifted guy, right? You put Paxton in the combine, that's what they look like. I mean, he's 6'5", he can run, he can throw. So, you know, wouldn't he impress at the combine? I mean, you would say, boy, that's an impressive-looking dude. You know, that's where it starts. So he's got that part. So we have to give him more time to develop as an NFL quarterback. And that does take time, you know. But everyone wants him to play early. You know, even these 4 or 5 kids are coming out this year. You know, we interviewed Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's 20 years old, you know, and he's gonna be drafted, hopefully, you know, in the first round for the kid and go somewhere. And they're going to say, well, you know, go play. He's 20 years old, you know, and, you know, Tom's what, 41? What's Tom? 41 years old. So I'm just saying, I mean, they need time to develop quarterback skill sets, not just physical skill sets, but the mental part of the game is huge. You know, and once they get that, they can play. But what happens is the kids come in, and we play them too soon, and they get burned, and they lose their nerve, and they can't recover from it. And that's coaching, and that's the league. We have to give them time to develop and learn how to play the position. Now, some guys come in, they play. It's different. You know, Andrew came in, he played. I mean, that's a different guy, but some guys need more time.
But what's his Broncos future, though? Case is obviously the guy you want to be your starter.
Right.
And then you look at where his contract is in terms of his, Paxton. That's a lot of money to pay it back if you pick up the option. So.
Well, his Broncos future right now, he's the number two. You know, Case is the one, he's the two. And again, guys, you know, that two has to be ready to play. You know, so, I mean, you know, we're looking forward to him getting in the OTAs and getting in training camp and getting better this year, you know, because he's a valuable member of our football team. I mean, he's one play from being a starter again, you know, so he has value. He has value, and it's huge value. So, you know, he's working hard at it also, and that's the thing no one sees. He's a hard worker. He's working at it. And I think having an example of Case Keenum is going to help him because Case has been through – hell and back as a quarterback, right? This is Case Keenum's first time walking into OTAs and actually being a guy. This is the very first time, right? Very first time. So he's excited about that opportunity. But I think having that example of Case, because Case is gritty, right? That helps young quarterback to say, hey, you know something, man? Forget the world. Okay, it's about you grinding and getting better every day. And if Paxton gets that from Case, he's going to be better for it because Case is a gritty dude. So that's going to be good for Paxton to see and to be around every day.
What did you like about Lamar when you got a chance to
Lamar?
Talk with him?
As far as his physical or mental?
Just getting a chance to meet with him. And
Well, watching his tape, first of all, he's a special talent. I mean, he can do things that most guys can't do. Running the football, throwing the football with accuracy, so he's got a bright future. As a person, he was a fun-loving guy. But again, 20 years old, I mean, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter. I mean, she can't, I mean, she's not ready to be any kind of professional. You know, that's 4 years split. I mean, that's nothing. But good kid, and I mean, obviously talented. Wish him luck.
First round, one in the later rounds, do you expect another quarterback to join the room in the draft?
Do I expect that? I can't say. You know, right now we've got three guys on our roster that we feel really good about. Obviously the draft's coming up and, you know, we'll see, but I can't say.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you, man? Right. Right.
Is the thinking flawed? Not about pipeline, the offensive coordinator, it's just about getting the right guy.
Yeah. I think, you know, in this day and age, everyone's looking for, you know, great leadership. You know, and that's important when you're looking for a head coach, in my opinion, and coordinators. You want guys who can lead men and push guys to be better every day. You know, I think it's going that way. You know, they are swaying the searches to more, you know, guys who can lead, you know, and not necessarily from a certain offensive system or a certain defensive system. It's more about leadership and guys who can help develop young men and lead guys through the hard times. So I think it's changing. I really do think it's changing. Hopefully in 4 to 5 years, you know, these talks kind of ceased and they just hired the best people, you know, for that football team. But again, you know, everyone hires who they know. That's a comfort of the hiring process. You know, you hire guys you know. And that's
it. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it helps him. I think it helps him because he's earned the right. I mean, he's a good football coach, and he's had great success with his backs. Everywhere he's gone, his backs have been really, really, really good players. Peterson and a young kid this year show up and becomes the league leading rusher. He's been with Andy Reid for a long time. That's a great example. You know, so he's getting a great example from Andy every day of how to lead a football team. So, you know, when his chance does come up, I mean, he'll be ready for it because of who he's been with and what he's been through. Welcome.
Another stats question for you. I know it's relatively new in football, right? Mm-hmm. With all the new technology.
Right.
What point did you kind of feel like we need to kind of embrace this and incorporate it?
Embrace what, Nick?
Advanced stats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At what point? I think going to Miami really, really helped me embrace the analytics part of it. It's... You know, we had 4 or 5 guys doing it. You know, an advantage you have, in my opinion, with the draft, especially with having certain portals of guys that that's been successful at position, as far as being 6'3", being 6'2", you know, running 4.5. Those guys were, you know, great rushers. You know, so I think analytics, you know, were a big deal in Miami for us. And obviously, you know, game planning and prepping for games, those deals were huge for us as far as advanced scouting. So I think it's important. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here for a while.
Where do you stand on virtual reality, like the headsets that you can practice anywhere?
I haven't had a lot of experience with that. I've seen it. But I'm not sure how it helps you know, football players. It's neat when you kind of, you know, look into the glass and you can see the entire field, but I'm not sure how that helps. I'm going to relax for a couple of days, and we start draft meetings, I think, a week after, so excited about that. But just to get back and relax a little bit is going to be good. Well, I'm hoping, yeah. I mean, we got 9 picks, Mike. You know, 9 picks in the draft, and that's always a critical spot. I thought Corey as a linebacker was coming on big, you know, to be a part-time player for us. Obviously, as a team's player, Corey is a core player. He was a core player for us. So that's definitely an area we have to address in the draft. And, you know, having nine draft picks, that's going to be fun to finally draft a guy that, you know, Reggie, can develop and, you know, they can become a full-time player for us. You know, I mean, we've drafted, lower-round guys and free agents more often at inside backer, but they have a chance to draft a guy maybe higher in inside backer. That's going to be fun to watch Reggie coach.
Defensive line, where's the stand now? Is it Wolf, Pecco, Shelby Harris?
Yes. Well, we've got Wolf, we've got Pecco, we've got Shelby. Obviously, you know, Adam. Kyle Pecco came on last year and played very well for us. I was excited about Kyle. It's a good group. That group last year, guys, was our most consistent group, in my opinion, as far as playing week to week. They played good every week, even with the injuries. You know, when Wolfie went out, I thought Shelby stepped up. Zach Kerr got better and better each week. So that group definitely got better. And it was a consistent group the entire season.
How much did it help DeMarcus focus?
That's going to help him. That's going to help him a lot. You know, last year, you know, and that falls on me that we tried to play him at two spots because of Shane Ray's injury. We needed more depth on the outside backer, and that took away from his inside pass rush. And once we got him back in Bill Kolar's room, he was so much better as an inside rusher than he was early on. But we have to give him one position, leave him alone, let him play, you know, and he should have success. But to move him back and forth from outside back or the inside defensive end, that didn't help him at all.
Where do you want him size-wise?
Right. Absolutely. That's we drafted him. He was about 275, 280, and hopefully he can gain five pounds and, you know, obviously, you know, play first, second down, but primarily as an inside rusher on sub downs. Yeah. Well, you know, we drafted him to be that guy. You know, obviously, Hireman's made some strides, but, you know, we're hoping Jake Butts, you know, becomes the guy that we, you know, hope he was going to be. You know, obviously, before the injury in college, I mean, he was a guy who was going to be a top, you know, two- or three-round player. You know, so we're hoping he gets back to that. And just being around a kid for a year, I mean, he is a pro's pro. He gets it, and he works at it, and he studies, and he loves it. I mean, he will do everything he has to do to be a great player. So, if I'm betting on Jake, I'm betting it's going to happen.
How much does Adam Gotts' situation affect your decisions with the defensive line, especially this summer as you're bringing in new talent?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm not sure how it affects our draft situation, but obviously it's a serious issue. You know, we put a statement out, you know, a couple weeks ago about it, and I'll stand by the statement. But, you know, right now he is, you know, he's going to be there April 16th because he can be. And obviously, you know, as it clears up, we'll make decisions there. But right now, I mean, he is going to be at the off season. And, you know, however it progresses, we'll, you know, we'll kind of, you know, decide as we go along.
How's it been working with John in the draft process?
It's been good. John's been great. You know, obviously in free agency, you know, John's done a great job as far as acquiring talent. And the quarterback was key, you know, as far as acquiring Case and not waiting, you know, until we, you know, not waiting on something that we wasn't sure about. You know, we found our guy and, you know, we got him done. And that speaks to John's instinct, you know, and, you know, him being aggressive in the market. Obviously, the right tackle was big for us. Signing Tremaine Brock was big after trading Aqib. So, you know, John's been A-plus, you know, offseason. Obviously, draft meetings start in the next couple of weeks. And, it's going to be fun to have the a top five pick in the first three rounds. So that'd be fun to bring in impact players.
How much is it helping having
Kubiak? It's huge for us. You know, obviously Kube's got a lot of experience as far as picking players, especially offensive players. But I'm having Kube in as a sounding board, for John and personnel and for myself and for Billy Muss. I mean, just his experience and, in the entire game, helps the entire building. He's a great person also. So he's fun to be around.
So one coaching position that wasn't filled was Pug's position. What's the plan there?
Well, the plan there, guys, this is new. The plan there, we're going to have the three down guys and our Will Backer in Kolar's room. And we're going to have our Sam, Mike, and Mo is going to be with Reggie Herring. And Chris Beek's going to be our go-between between the outside backers and our front four rushers, basically, as far as the dropping and those things, as far as the scheme. But, so we didn't replace Coach Pug, but we adjusted our coaching room, to basically put the Will Backer with Coach Kolar and keep the Sam, Mike, and Mo with Coach Herring. Not really a pass rush coach, but he's going to help. He's going to help, obviously, Coach Kolar with the drops of the Will Backer and also help on sub downs with being the go-between between Reggie and Coach Kolar.
Is that kind of what you did?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we tried at the Senior Bowl. And we want to get our best rusher more rushes. And that's pretty much it, guys. Von Miller is our Will. So to have Von Miller with Bill Kolar, it's going to be a good thing for us because now we can get him more rushes. That's the point behind it, and to kind of streamline our staff a little bit. But, you want your best rusher to be really focused on rushing every day and not so much on dropping. Absolutely. I think Von's also excited. Kolar can be a hard-nosed coach, but his guys perform, and I think Von want that. Von wants to be pushed. I mean, he wants to be great. So I'm excited to watch Coach Kolar and Von work together every day because, third downs he's with Coach Kolar anyway. But it's going to be an everyday relationship now, so it'd be fun to watch. Watch those fireworks. With Reggie. Yep. Shane and Shaq and Marsh and Davis. Those guys would be with Reggie. The Sam, Mike, and Mo. Right.
Two very different days they were throwing on.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I was at the Rosen Pro Day, okay, personally. I was there. He's a gifted passer. I mean, he's got great footwork. I mean, he is really polished for a young guy. When you watch his tape, I mean, it looks like an NFL quarterback. The timing, the footwork, he can pace the ball. He can throw it hard. He can throw it deep. So that didn't change on his pro day. I thought his pro day was a lot better than his combine. His combine, I thought, was a little bit off. But his pro day was really, really good, Rosen. I went to Baker Mayfield's pro day also, and it was really good. He was accurate. He threw the ball well. He made every throw in the book. For a little guy, I should say, or a smaller quarterback, he can throw it long. I mean, he has a big arm, and it's an accurate arm. So he was very impressive. I watched Sam's pro day on TV. I didn't see it personally, but it was impressive also. I mean, obviously, he is also a polished guy, a polished passer. And, it's what you see on tape. I mean, he's accurate. He can make every throw. He can play on the move. That's important also. So, all three was very impressive.
Josh was talking about tennis and how being a very good junior tennis player out there helped him in the football play, whether it's short memory,
right,
lateral movement, hitting, repetition, all that stuff. Have you ever encountered that? Somebody who's made that to a level you
I have not. You know, obviously, I'm not sure. Josh Rosen was, you know, obviously the footwork and, you know, having great feet, obviously, from a tennis player, that helps. But I'm not sure if it's relevant to playing quarterback. I can't tell you that. Yeah, I couldn't tell you that.
So no pass rushing specials? No pass rushing specials?
No, at the moment, no. Not at all. Backhanding away your media comments. Oh, you guys get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. It definitely makes a difference because you're now, you know, your defensive ends. When you watch college football, the defensive ends on first, second down, they don't rush the passer, right? They call it surf. So they come off the ball and they kind of surf and kind of wait for the zone read to happen, right? They have responsibilities in the run game. You know, for years in the NFL, first, second down, you know, if Von Miller read pass, he would rush. Now it's different, you know. So you play in the Chiefs. You have to obviously rerun pass from the defensive end position, but you also have to have your zone read responsibilities, and that kills your pass rush. So it's really effective, obviously, as a running tool for offenses, but it also slows down your pass rush because guys can't run up the field with the zone read, with the shuffle pass coming back to it. And Andy runs, it kills your pass rush on first, second down, so you have to make sure it's pass before you truly rush. So it takes time to game plan that stuff because we don't see it often, and the players don't see it often. So it takes time to convince our defensive ends not to rush upfield on first, second down, even though they want to. It looks like pass, but it's not. It's option. So it definitely slows down your pass rush. It takes time to game plan it. So it's definitely had an effect.
Is there a next step? Is there a corrective step that defenses will end up pursuing here? Do you foresee anything like that, or is it because it's infrequent enough that you're just going to have to prepare on a weekly basis?
Absolutely. Every team's not doing it, so you can't have it in your plan working every week, but you have to prepare for your team that you know, we play the Chiefs twice a year, so we have to defend it twice a year at least. And, Philly's doing a lot of that stuff. And, it's also paired with the RPOs, so it's option football also with a passing game behind it. And that really makes it tough on a second level defender. Is it pass? Is it run? And it's not run, it's pass, or it's not pass, it's run. So that makes it also tough. That's a second level that's come to our league that's made it difficult to defend.
What are you hoping to see from Chad Kelly when he gets out?
Yeah, I'm hoping he this shows he's healthy and he can play football, and obviously, he's on the field last year for 3 or 4 days and he wasn't ready to go. So hopefully he comes back, he's ready to go. He's been at Dove Valley for the last couple of weeks. He's in great shape. He looks great. He's lean. So hopefully he comes back, he's healthy, ready to go, and he can compete.
How much do you think the year, even though he didn't practice, how much do you think the year in the meeting is going to be able to come back?
I think it's huge for him to be around, those guys for an entire year, and it's just to take in the football stuff. And he was there every single day. So I was really proud of him, how he's worked, how engaged he's been as far as learning how to play the position. So, obviously if his physical tools are there and they're right, he's going to compete.
Fans have pretty high expectations around here, right? You embracing that with the fans' expectations?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely. I think every coach wants to win every game you play. Our fans have won a lot of football games, so absolutely, I've embraced that, and that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it should be. No one wants to, have a fan base where you win four or five games and it's okay. It should not be okay, especially in Denver. It's a long tradition of winning football games. So that part we all understand. And obviously John. That's John's message to myself and the staff and the players all the time. We have one goal each year, and that's to win a championship. That's never going to change in Denver. And it shouldn't change.
With Pete gone, that moves up Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm expecting Chris to embrace this role. Again, it's going to be his first time with being number one, I should say, on paper. But I'm hoping he embraced the role and, you know, become a great leader for us. Obviously, continue to play good football. Again, you know, when you're going through a season like we had and you're 5-11, you know, you're not sure who played well. But when you go back and watch the cut-ups, I thought Chris had a really good year. I mean, he played really good football, you know. I mean, he didn't have a lot of intercept numbers. But as far as covering his guy and doing his job, he did a good job for us last year. So hopefully he can continue to do that, but also become a better leader for us. Yeah. Right. I would say this about Garrett. First of all, physically, he has to get bigger and stronger. That's his first issue. His second issue is technique. You know, I think having Chris Schrauscher as his full-time coach is going to help that. You know, so I'm excited to watch, you know, him grow as a player. But as a rookie to, you know, survive 16 weeks at left tackle, that's going to pay dividends for him, you know. So I'm excited to watch him come back and get better and better. But he's a talent that just needs time to grow into the position. But he is going to be a very, very good player for us in the future. Yeah.
Hey,
buddy. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Just want to ask you real quick about your time in Miami under Adam.
Yeah.
What was that like? What did you learn from Adam? What did he learn from you?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, being with Adam, he was a first-time head coach, and I was a young coordinator, you know, so we kind of, you know, we're kind of tag-teamed a lot of the issues that we had. But, you know, that year was a good year for us because we started out, you know, so poorly. We started out 1-4, and it wasn't going well. And, you know, we flipped it and won, I think, 7 or 8 games in a row and, you know, ended up going to playoffs. So I think, you know, what we both learned there is just stick with the process and keep pushing, you know, what we knew was right. You know, it wasn't shown on the field, but we knew it was right. You know, from a schematic standpoint, from how we were pushing the culture, how we were trying to change the culture, you know, we were doing the right things. The results wasn't happening, you know, but they did eventually. So that was really gratifying to kind of stay with what we knew was right. At the end of the day, going to the playoffs in our first year was fun.
But if I told you you're going to the playoffs after 5 weeks, would you have said,
No, we were trying to figure out, you know, how to stop people and how to score points, you know, not lose games. But after the first 5 weeks, we had no idea where we were going. But again, that speaks to Adam's leadership and, you know, staying with it and not panicking and making some bold moves, you know, with the offensive line he made, you know, which helped us get better. Maybe not schematically, but just the culture of guys just doing their jobs better. You know, that was a clear wake-up call for all of us.
Do you think that switching to Ajayi as a focal point, was that kind of the turning point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously the Pittsburgh game kind of, you know, rocketed us off to winning, I think, 7 or 8 games in a row. And that game he rushed for over 200 yards. So he was definitely a guy that helped change our season.
And he said that he had you on a one-year loan. He knew at the outset that it was a one-year loan for you.
Yeah. And I was, you know, fortunate to get the Denver job. And, you know, obviously last year wasn't good enough. And I'm excited about this year.
You keep in touch with him, don't you?
Adam?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Twice a week, 3 times a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. All right. Good seeing you.